Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got general election talk. I have a lot of hot takes. We got news coming up as well. All that coming in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Recent Barnes & Noble cyber attack exposed customer email addresses, billing and shipping addresses, phone numbers, and transaction histories. Plus, some customers can't access their Nook ebook libraries. It's that bad. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. You can miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. They're LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off. Real men are an endangered species. Shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RedmanUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card. A place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenmanUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life. And get ready, because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dr. Drew, with Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, instead of voting, he drove to stores boarding up in case riots and critiqued their plywood hanging. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. You mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for hitting that little share button. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
If you got a store and you're boarding it up, this is probably a little late, but...
there's probably going to be reason to board for the next few weeks.
CDX plywood is fine, but OSB-oriented strand board is cheaper. It's a fair bit cheaper, and it may be more durable. It may stop a boot or a sledgehammer better, in my opinion. I don't
Ace
know.
Ace on the loot.
Yeah, they will let you use oriented strand board for shear wall, like when you skin the outside of a house for earthquake protection, and they'll let you use it to sheath a roof, too. So the city does not really recognize a difference structurally between those two. The codes don't. And I think, what is a max pad, a half-inch sheet of exterior ply, by the way, Home Depot, and a half-inch sheet of oriented strand board. I got to believe the oriented strand board's cheaper. You know, I'll tell you, after all the shit goes down and the dust settles, there's going to be a lot of killer skateboard ramps out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Sure. Good pieces of big flat wood going to waste.
There's
going to
be lots of plywood out there in circulation, and I mean, I don't know. I'm such an idiot. Like, I see all you see on the news is footage of guys sinking drywall screws into plywood and boarding up stores, and I'm like, hey, you should really use zinc screws for that. The drywall screws aren't strong at all. They're really brittle.
Adam, the friendly looter.
Yeah. But by the way, I don't want to give any tips to Black Lives Matter, but all you got to do is get yourself a nice 18-volt Milwaukee impact gun, show up at the fucking place, put that thing on reverse, and back out 10 screws, piece of plywood hits the ground. You can kick the center of a piece of plywood as long as you want. You can bang on it with a hammer. Nothing's going to happen. But you got those drills, you hit reverse on it, screws come flying out of there, and that'll be that. So anyone who's thinking about doing some looting, get that.
Listen up.
First things first. Loot a Home Depot. Go to the tool department. Get the impact guns. Don't get a cordless drill. Cordless drills are fine, but the impact guns are much better, the cordless ones for backing out screws. Use a magnetic screw cartridge, all right? Don't just put the stupid bit right into the chuck. That's bush league. Get the magnetic cartridge. And another tip, you're only going to use number two tips. There will be no number one, which is a small, finer one, or number three, which is a bigger one. Every single screw. I guarantee you in all of America, in every store that's been boarded up, there is not one number three or number one type screw in any of those places. It's all going to be number two. So get
You're definitely going on a list before this show's over.
Get some number two bits. Use your magnetic cartridge and use a battery-operated impact gun. Oh, you're probably going to need a stepladder.
Oh my God. I'm envisioning the young looter going to Home Depot with a list. Yes. A shopping list is this long.
Yeah. Like Jesse with Breaking Bad. I need chloroform. I need a Rubbermaid tub.
Well, you are, plywood's 8 foot tall. And when they put that shit up on a building, if it's sitting on the sidewalk, they throw it up long ways, So the top set of screws is going to be at the 8 foot mark. So you're going to need a nice little 3 foot step ladder, and the top of the step ladder, just for safety and looting, that's not a step. You can set your paint bucket there, but you don't stand on the top one. All right,
stay safe, everybody.
What are the prices? Sorry.
Let's see. OSB for 4x8 is $28.65, and I found a piece of plywood half inch 4x8 for a dollar more.
All right. See, I told you, it's big time savings.
You can't afford not to.
Well, times, 1,000 liquor stores, it starts to add up.
Adds up.
That's right. I'm still thinking about your greatest idea to say, Tandy repair and Tandy items sold here.
Yes.
Just remember to print out your banner on a dot matrix printer
with the
perforated sides.
Right.
To really bring it home.
With the tractor feed.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So got stuff to talk about. Was thinking a lot about the self-esteem movement. I was talking to Dr. Drew about it. And I'm wondering how that affects voters. And my theory is this. the self-esteem movement really, it's completely ill-conceived. The idea is good, like, people should have high self-esteem, although even that's flawed because, as it turns out, murderers have high self-esteem. Dr. Drew has low self-esteem. People on death row have high self-esteem. But anyway, I get where your head's at. You want people to have self-esteem. Now, the problem is we're grafting self-esteem onto generations of young people who haven't earned it, right? They didn't earn it. We're just telling them to feel good about themselves. And I started thinking, well, how does that affect a group of voters? And I thought to myself, oh, the part where you get free shit, or we take care of your college, or we take care of your health care, or we take care of your daycare, or we take care of your lunch, your school lunches or whatever, that stuff's all pretty appealing to high self-esteem people. I think it as I describe it, meaning that kind of stuff sounds pretty good. Like, it's me. Why shouldn't I get some free shit? It feels, yeah, but it's not. I'm not saying it's your money. I'm saying it's probably someone else's money. In the case of, especially in the redistribution part of it. You know, the part where why shouldn't people that have the money, why shouldn't they kick some down, or why shouldn't they pay more? Why should they get a tax break, or why should that person over there get more shit than me? Yes, Brian.
Sure. Just to clarify, when I said it's my money, I mean, like, it's my money that I don't have to spend and I can then keep on whatever thing is, healthcare, you know, student loans, whatever. That's where I was going with that.
Right. Wait a minute. I'm still a little confused. Explain that again.
My money I'm keeping.
No, I'm keeping my money.
Oh, I'm keeping my money. Yes. Yes.
On something that I need.
Right. So self-esteem movements, I don't think are good for votes because, I mean, whoever the candidate who does pander to that group is going to get more votes. But I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for war. And I don't think it's good for the country either. And I do kind of wonder, like, how did we get from, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, that sort of thing where the politicians were like, I'm going to lower taxes and regulations and create more jobs and then go get a job, versus I got a bunch of shit that I'm going to get you, like I'm going to take care of you. And I think it dovetails with the self-esteem movement, which has been going on for like 30 years now. And I think it's a general bad trend. I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know if it'll burn itself out, but I do know it is no way to run a fucking country. And I like people with low self-esteem. I was, I don't know if you guys, I hope you guys are sitting down, but I was talking about Little Miss Sunshine.
I have him on Love Boat.
thoughts on this movie?
To Dr. Drew. And I was, of course, breaking down the diner scene where Little Miss Fat Ass wanted to order ice cream for breakfast and was told by Kinnear
Waffles a la mode
that was not going to be good because you eat ice cream for breakfast too often, you get fat. All right. First things first. Kinnear, everyone's staring at Kinnear like he's the worst guy ever. Is there a human being, including yourselves, who, if you walked into your kitchen on a Wednesday morning and your 9-year-old at 8 a.m. was making a bowl of ice cream, is there a parent in the world that wouldn't go, hey, no, we don't do that?
So that's a sometimes treat. That's not for breakfast.
Right. So why is Kinnear the heavy in that scene? But Dr. Drew pointed out something connected to the self-esteem movement that's in that scene where the mom had to talk to Little Miss Sunshine and explain her self-esteem to her. So I'll play the scene, and there's a little scene within the scene, and that's the self-esteem thing. What's this movie, 20 years old now? Must be.
Oh, came out in the late – oh, shit. I don't even know.
Came out in 06.
Oh, 06. Oh, wow. All right. It's coming up on 16 years, 15 years. All right. Play it. Sorry.
Olive, can I tell you a little something about ice cream? Well, ice cream is made from cream, which comes from cow's milk, and cream has a lot of fat in it.
Richard.
What? She's going to find out anyway, remember?
What? Find out what?
Well, when you eat ice cream, the fat in the ice cream becomes fat in your body.
Richard, I swear to God.
It's true.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. So
by the way, stop it for a second. What if this was happening in someone's kitchen? Mm-hmm. What if, like, I came down and, I'm not a good example. What if a regular couple was in their kitchen?
Assume their names are Brian and Christy.
Yeah, and Tessa was eating ice cream on a Wednesday, and the dad, Brian, was in there going, Tessa, that's a treat. It's not for breakfast because if you eat it too much, you'll gain weight or it'll make you fat. Would Christy turn the corner and be like, Brian?
No. Brian, I swear to God.
We have had this situation, not this exact, but like Tessa is, you know, we reached the level of the fridge on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tessa can easily access what's in the freezer on the bottom. Sorry, freezer on the bottom. And so I had to redo the sniff. Right. And so Tessa can easily get into it and she knows what ice cream is and we have like, you know, whatever in there. And if she starts to sneak something out, oh no, it's a unified front. Like, no, that's not for now. It's dinner time or it's whatever. Or it's not time for the treat. Yeah, right. You got to have the unified front.
Right. All right. So it's a flawed scene, but there's a point coming in 15 seconds that I think marked the zenith of the self-esteem movement.
So if you eat a lot of ice cream, you might become fat. And if you don't, you're going to stay nice and skinny, sweetie.
Olive, Richard is an idiot. I like a woman with meat on her bones.
Why is everyone so upset?
No one's upset, honey. I just want you to understand it's okay to be skinny and it's okay to be fat if that's what you want to be. Whatever you want, it's okay.
All right. Whatever you want. It's not okay.
They're on their way to a beauty competition.
Oh, that comes into play.
It's not okay to be fat. There's serious health consequences to being fat. It's not okay. That's the thing. That's the person. That's the group. Like, it's okay to be whatever you want to be. You can be this. You can be that. Everything's okay just as long as that's what you want to be.
Right.
Well, by the way, no one wants to be fat. You're just too fucking lazy and you don't have the discipline because you have too much fucking moms like that and self-esteem telling you can do whatever you want all the time. Yes, Jan.
Well, and just as a side observation to that scene, which I think is so telling and literally telling because she says it, the little girl isn't reacting to what the dad is saying.
Right.
So maybe without everybody else, that would have been a normal conversation. She's reacting to how upset the family is getting
right.
around him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something to, you know, to press down upon.
I agree. Then I talked a little more in depth about self-esteem with Dr. Drew. And Drew has no self-esteem because Drew had kind of a bad mom. In the self-esteem department.
Have you ever heard about this?
He doesn't bring it up much, but she's been gone for long enough. His mom was like kind of into...
Perfectionist?
No, she was just kind of into her shit and not really into Drew's shit. So,
wasn't she a singer or an actress?
Yeah, she was the star of The Great White Way back when you could say that. There's a long story to the mom, but the mom was not a mom in a traditional way. You know what I mean?
Not maternal.
And so he has low self-esteem. Now, he understands that he's educated and he's a doctor and he's high functioning and he understands what he's able to do and he owns it. But his core, the core is the self-esteem. And so at his core, he doesn't have self-esteem, but he lives in the real world and he has ears and eyes and he understands he drives a Porsche and lives in a big house. And I said, yeah, I'm the same way. My mom was a bad mom. I got no self-esteem because I really think the core of the self-esteem, the part that's in kind of your marrow and you're at a cellular level, that has to start shortly after birth, right? Like
sure.
That just looking into the eyes of the mother. So that stuff plays out at home. And then at some point, you get your self-esteem through being a star athlete or whatever. But you never really have self-esteem or never to the level that some people will have it if they're mom. It's provided by the mom. Dad helps, but mom is really that. And the doting moms... And the high attention moms, and I believe me, I've had these roommates, high self-esteem. You don't want to live with a high self-esteem roommate. It's the fucking worst experience ever. But it's given by the mom initially, and Drew didn't have it. I didn't have it. But we have a different form of it, which is sort of synthetic, that's just really based on merit. You know, it's based on plaques or degrees or trophies.
Yeah, you've accomplished things in your lives.
Right. So ours is sort of on that. Now, when I was 19, I didn't have either. I didn't have the mom one and I didn't have the accomplishment one. And that's why when somebody said, I can get you a job digging ditches, I was like, where do I got to be? I didn't go, fuck that. I'm not digging ditches. Yeah. I'm going to be a comedian. Yes.
From my very outsider point of view, I would argue that your mom did more damage to your self-esteem than on average, you know what I mean? Because you had accomplishments. You were All-Valley football. We had a teacher who was on the show of yours who said you were popular and the girls liked you and you were nice. Granted, maybe you weren't like the lady killer of the school, but you should have had at least slightly above average self-esteem.
Yeah, it gives you, you look at yourself through those goggles the whole time, and it's like, yeah, so big deal. Right. So I was, I got a call up here from Minneapolis that has thoughts on this, so we'll take it. Kyle, 33, Minneapolis.
Yep.
Thoughts, self-esteem.
Hello? Oh, yeah. Hey, Ace Man, sorry about that.
Hi, guys. So,
hi, guy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when it comes to self-esteem, and you've talked about this in the past, I'm a long-time listener. And 10 years ago when I started listening, you know, I had low self-esteem. Why? Because I was 22 and broke and had no achievements. And so I think that's probably the healthy thing at that point. You're driven to attain some self-esteem. And, you know, I had a pretty good childhood. But then as I achieved things, you know, got married, bought a house, got a good job, and all those things, now I have fine self-esteem because I've actually achieved something. And I think that's the healthy approach. I think it's normal for guys, especially in their early 20s, to have, you know, low self-esteem, as long as you know, okay, I need to take these steps to then build up your self-esteem.
Right. But so how was your mom, and Where does she play in? Like,
if she's from Minnesota, she was doting. She made plenty of hot dish. Mm-hmm. She knew that nothing made Kyle happier than a nice tater tot casserole.
Work Utterbomb into this soliloquy.
When his little fingertips would get chapped. I know it's true, honey. I raised you. I've known you for 33 years. Your little feet would get chapped at night because the air was so dry. We didn't have a humidifier. So I rubbed that Utterbomb on your heels and you just said, oh, thanks, Mama. And I said, anything for you, Kyle. Now go to sleep. We love you. We'll see you in the morning for some cream of wheat before school and prayers. And you have yourself a good night, honey.
Oh, beautiful, Gina.
You betcha, Mom. You betcha.
Okay, honey. Love you.
It's cathartic.
Yeah, no, that hit close. By the way, thanks, Ace Man, for the fantastic looting talk too. That's great tips for us here in Minneapolis.
Hey,
coming in
a buck a sheet, you know, times four sheets. That's almost $5 there. You know? That's a 6-incher at Subway. You hear me talking? Okay, yeah. Thanks, Kyle. Dawson, thanks, I think you had a mom that loved you. Probably still does.
Absolutely.
You have high self-esteem on a cellular level.
No. Believe me, my father was the antithesis of that. So I had a nice effing balance.
And that's good, but I don't know that the dads can undo it. They can distract it, and then some of these people, like, my mom was great, my dad was a douche, but they still got the self-esteem from the mom. I don't know. Brian, where are you at?
I don't know. I think you may overestimate my self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. It's a positive thing.
It's healthy. But,
yeah.
My mom is a complicated woman. She was definitely a loving mom.
Hold on. Sorry. What? We must tell the Lisa Loeb story.
Okay, here's the Lisa Loeb story. She had a TV show where she was trying to find love. We were trying to figure out in the meeting, what should we do with Lisa Loeb? And I go, hey, I'll go out on a date with her. I had a crush on her. Thought she was cute.
Mm-hmm.
You found it amusing.
Yeah, the story was a little different.
Yeah, I know.
I remember Dawson predicting a love match.
Dawson's like, I'm going to go out with Lisa Loeb. And I was like, you are? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, have you spoken to her? Well, not yet. She's not here yet.
There we go.
And I thought, that's pretty good self-esteem. Yes.
Great.
Yeah, I would have.
Her loss.
Even you calling it a coin toss would have been high self-esteem. But sorry, Brian.
My mom was the loving mom. She was encouraging, all those things. But she was also tough. Like, my mom, like, I was a decent writer at a young age. I was writing for my local paper when I was like 12. And she was like, oh, you're a really good writer. And, like, you know, a lot of moms would have left it there. She was like, now you got to apply for this scholarship. Now you got to apply for this. Now you got to write to this person and ask for advice. She was very, what's the word? She would demand that you take advantage of your talents. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't like resting on, like, oh, you're really good at this. It was, oh, you're really good at this. Now do this and this and this and this. It was, she pushed me.
Yeah, that's, I think that's good and good. I think that's good self-esteem,
it
mom.
It sucked as a kid, but it was good for sure.
And practical, Gina?
My mother is, as she's always been, doting, lovely, as the kindergartners say in Zoom class, filling my bucket constantly, mm-hmm. telling me that she would give me the world on a silver platter if she could. Is the relationship between a mother and daughter dicey for a few years? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But she's a Jewish mother. I would say I got that stereotypical problem of I missed out on a few key events that I would have loved to do because she was afraid I'd lose my voice and I wouldn't be able to sing for the musical, or she's afraid I would get sick. So I didn't go party with all the kids when mm-hmm. I should have, and I still rue the day, but very doting and very worried.
All right. Next subject.
I'm sorry. Before we move off of this, it's come up a couple of times, you know, the self-esteem thing, wanting how it affects voters. You know, you want this and you want that and blah, blah, blah. And it made me think way back when we talked about it the first time, this great SNL sketch from, I think it was 92, because it was Bill Clinton like running for president and like talking to voters, like town hall style. And I found the clip. Chris has it. And it's you mentioned it's going on for 30 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's Dana Carvey as Ted Koppel for Nightline. And this is evidence of what you're talking about, because this is the stuff you're talking about today.
Ma'am, do you have a question?
It's like, you look all around and you see all this stuff, and everybody's got stuff but me, man. It's like, where's mine? Where's my stuff? I'm young, man. It's like, I should have stuff too. Where's my stuff?
Perfect.
Well, that's a very good point. You know, I hear this a lot, and I think if this election is about anything, it's about stuff. It's about the fact that under Reagan, Bush, Quayle, more people are working harder and harder for less.
Yeah.
Snapshot.
It's your Trouble in the Middle East on a weekend update.
Yeah, I know. Starting the weekend update with Trouble in the Middle East. All right. So, as we tape this, we don't have any results. I assume Biden's going to win, but there's a couple things I'm wondering. Let's just say Biden wins
on election night, like, but one note, like, you will know tomorrow,
or just wins in general. Okay. Let's just say wins. Will we be able to get back? I don't mean necessarily as a society. Like, where is social media going to be? For instance, I was talking to Drew, who's getting ready to go to Mexico and next week. And he said, I'm going to pack all of my COVID stuff, all my doctory stuff that I might not be able to get over there. And I'm going to take it with me. And I said, okay, what are you taking? And he said, he named a few things and zinc and some other stuff that was prescription stuff. And then he said, hydroxychloroquine. And I said, oh, yeah, remember when there was a big fucking deal about hydroxychloroquine and doctors put some shit out there and stuff got taken off of Twitter and Facebook or pulled off the internet or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I said, what was the big deal with hydroxychloroquine? He said, Drew said, hydroxychloroquine is so safe that he was doing some research on it the other night for, I guess, his trip or whatever, for something else. He said it's so safe that if you're on it and you're a pregnant woman, you can stay on it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Well, that sounds pretty fucking safe.
You can't even stay on deli meat.
I know, there's a lot of restrictions.
Yes, that to me, to the lay person, that's like, if you can do it while you're pregnant, then that sounds safe to me. We went fucking ballistic on hydroxychloroquine, and the internet did, and social media did.
By the way, in both directions, it was like it was the savior and then it was the devil.
Right. Now, I don't know who thought. I mean, it was the devil about 80% and savior about 20%, but doctors take it, or Dr. Drew takes it, or whatever it is. The pumped it up part, I get people are looking for something. Why did everyone go ballistic on the dangers of it? And why did social media, why was shit being pulled down? Because it was dangerous information, except for it wasn't dangerous information. Like, can we get that? Can we get Twitter back? Can we get that social media back?
Well, it was the source, right? That's what started it.
Right. Trump said it sort of offhandedly. Like, he just said, I hear good things about it. And that was it. Like, that was it. So social media has fucked us up. I mean, they went hard. So the question is, once Trump leaves, will they then look at it as not their job to get rid of Trump and let information just be shared in a normal way?
Will they be as stringent about enforcing policies as they have been over conveniently the last 2 months?
And they weren't even enforcing policies. They're just fucking pulling shit down and then going, oh, I guess we made a mistake.
Right.
You know?
Under the guise of enforcing
policies. Will that get back to normal?
Yes, to what we know as normal, I think absolutely you're on the money. As far as the users are concerned, will it just hot potato to another side of you know, just the other side of the coin?
Yeah, well, the users are going to be the users. I'm just saying, are the platforms going to edit like they did? And I don't see that anymore. So that's good.
I can certainly see it tamping down post-election. This has been a red zone for
to me, they showed their hand. But if it goes away, good.
If Biden wins, though, there's little chance that these social media companies will be held to any kind of standard.
Because you think so?
Well, they'll have no reason to have to change now and try to be more fair. There's going to be nobody.
Right. But we're not going to see it. We're not going to experience it for 3 years until Dan Crenshaw starts running, and then they'll go after Dan Crenshaw.
Then there'll be a lot more enforcing of policy.
Right. Then they're going to start enforcing policies. Right. The other. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the thing that Mike Murphy said about how cable news stations will have to react. And it was really interesting. I think he was talking about MSNBC when he said, well, I don't know what they're going to do. They're really going to have to come up with something quick. You know, CNN, it's great for Fox or this, but I don't know what they're going to do. And what I thought you were going to say was advocacy groups. If they don't have anything to push against, what's to be done?
The other, my other wish for me, I sit around and I always think of the subject of school choice and charter schools and vouchers, because I think that's the best way to help the people that need it the most, the inner city kids. And statistically, I told Maxipad to pull a piece of data or two. But the people that really benefit from the school choice and vouchers and shit like that are the poor kids in the broken down Baltimore school system who need a better place to go.
That's right. So according to the National Charter School Study by the Center of Research on Education Outcomes at Stanford, they said that charter schools benefit students from poor families, black students, and Hispanic English language learners more than their peers in other groups. Overall, charter school students are faring better than they were just a few years ago, surpassing those in traditional public schools in reading gains and keeping pace in math.
Okay, so here's a question. Why is Black Lives Matter against school choice?
It seems like there's a layup. I have no idea why they could be against it.
Gina? Anything that helps the community, it does boggle the mind. I think that there's a running sort of rhetoric that that public school teachers are constantly, you know, under the gun or under the whatever of having to swim upstream. So this is taking yet another possible advantage away from them.
Why would Black Lives Matter? Young black kids. Your group is called Black Lives Matter. Why are you against school choice?
The only thing I can theorize is that maybe is there an argument that it takes resources, tax money or whatever, away from the struggling schools and thus makes them worse?
You could, but in the face of a better result and you are Black Lives Matter, why are you against it?
Maybe because the better result is for a smaller percentage of the population.
You guys are thinking, you're thinking logically.
I am thinking logically. I have no idea.
It's because of the teachers
unions.
Because
they're Democrats.
And they vote Democrat.
They're in with the teachers unions.
And to go back to your earlier point, what makes you think that this information, real information on how charter schools help real, you know, hardcore underprivileged communities, do you think that that's going to be easier to find that information after an election that Joe Biden wins and the teachers unions and Democrats and Google and they're all connected in one big machine? I think it gets worse.
It's possible. I don't have that much. I'm not a kind of conspiracy theorist, but what I'm seeing or seeing the last few months is actually happening. But according to the Manhattan Institute, charter schools provide black students in poverty an additional 59 days of learning and math and 44 days of reading. So here's the world I want to live in. You're in a group called Black Lives Matter, and you are a Democrat. Fine. So go ahead and have all your thoughts and talking points about, you know, immigration or taxes or whatever the 1619 movement or reparations or slavery reparations or affirmative action. Have all that. But when one idea comes across that could actually help young black people, you don't have to say the fucking party line. You could just go, we want reparations and we want scholarships and we want free admission and we want, you know, traditional black colleges to have separate dorms or whatever. We want all this stuff and we want this thing. Because when I hear you're against this, I now don't believe you. I don't believe you're so into black lives when you're against the most positive thing you could do for a young person, which is get them started at the right school. And by the way, you guys never stop talking about, I don't mean you guys, I mean Black Lives Matter. You never stop talking about how these schools are failing these kids. Good. Someone's got a solution. It seems to be effective. Why not get behind it?
If it's as simple as teachers' unions, that's pretty weak.
Well, what else could it possibly be? There is no,
we're struggling to come up with an idea.
There is no other. It is a big, huge. First off, there's more teachers than there are, you know, cops and firemen put together. Sure. It's a huge fucking voting block. They have a ton of power. The unions don't want the competition. So they just tell those, they tell whoever's in Washington or Sacramento now. And they go along with it. That's scary. I'll play you a 9-second clip of if and when Biden gets in charge, I can tell you where charter schools are going.
And so the point is, if I'm president, Betsy DeVos's whole notion from charter schools to this are gone.
All right. Get rid of them charter schools.
Maybe he just meant the whole notion of Amway and selling toilet paper to your friends is gone.
All right, everybody. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what you're going to get. Fucking politicians. Both sides doing the same thing. The school thing drives me nuts because the kids are the pawns. The kids are the ones who suffer in this. And in terms of globally helping our society, this would be the best thing we could do. Well, there's a bunch of programs we got, but man, if we could have little bunch of little black and brown good students coming out of these inner cities, it'd be such a palpable change. Sorry, Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Well, do your thing, man.
Okay. Let me hit Madison Reed. Yes, Madison Reed, Mr. Everyone. So Madison Reed makes great hair coloring, and they make it for women, and everyone loves it. And at some point, they said, what about the fellas? So hence, Madison Reed, Mr. was born. So you want to get rid of some of that salt and add a little pepper? Madison Reed Mister. Gray blending, natural looking color for your hair and beard. You can see the before and after shots. Go to their website. They look great. No shoe polish look there. And again, it's a natural look. You don't go Travolta circa 2011. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color, and you match it on the website. Put a little through your fingers, put on your hair, let it sit for 10 minutes, rinse it out, and you look great. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code ADAM10.
Let's break and do the news right here, okay, Bald and Gina?
Do it.
Let's do it right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Seek news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So there is a lot of election news today. In fact, it's tough to find anything else, but your old buddy Gina did find a way around it. Remember we talked yesterday or the day before about how in Britain they found that this is the most heavily bet on event of all time.
That's crazy.
A British gambler has reportedly staked $5 million on President Trump winning the election, a wager believed to be the largest ever political bet. According to Fox News, the former banker used private bookmakers registered in the Caribbean island Curaçao for the best to bet at odds of. And I was, Brian, I meant to ask you this before the show because I have no idea. It's for the bet at odds of 37/20. Do I say 37 over 20?
I hate these international casinos. So that's,
I don't know what that
that's
means.
More or less 3-1. Right?
Okay. Thank you.
It's 2-1. Oh, it's not even 2-1.
Well,
it's,
40 would be 2-1.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's not even 2-1. So yeah, so the odds on Trump on the like the bet online of the world right before the election were in the neighborhood of -165, -180, right around there. So this kind of falls in line with that. He must be the best semi recently.
More importantly, how's Johnny Weir doing? How many people are left in Dancing with the Stars, and where's Weir coming in? So, first
Jeannie
off,
Mai just got out because she has epiglottitis, so that eliminated one.
I know. I gave it to her. I put it in a sandwich, and I put it in her dressing room. I don't even know what that is. The point is this. I'm surprised anyone took that action because that's – well, it's a lot of money. I have dealt with bookies before where if you want to do a shitload of money on something, and by the way, they're not paying you back $5 million. They're paying you back $10 million. Oh. Yeah. So that's a lot of dough. I'm surprised they took that action. But anyway.
What's interesting, so obviously in 2016, a lot of the bookmakers took a fucking bath on Trump. They had him as huge underdog, and he won, and they got roasted. This year, despite Trump being a decent, you would even say a good-size underdog, they are keeping the odds very tight. Like I said, the biggest I saw Trump was -180. That's not even that big of an underdog. They are playing it safe this year.
Johnny Weir, -125.
That's pretty good.
Nev Schulman, Catfish, +250. Caitlin Bristow, +275. So Nev leapfrogged Caitlin. And then after that, remember when, what were we saying? Wasn't AJ McLean the favorite for 10 minutes?
Second runner up.
Sure. Yeah.
+1600.
Gee, what happened, AJ?
Did he break a foot?
Well, remember at the very beginning of this, he was a slight favorite, and Johnny Weir was right there. I said, he's in a fucking boy band. The other guy's an Olympic ice dancer. Why are we?
Yeah, his odds have fallen precipitously, to say the least.
+1600, yeah. All right, sorry.
Well, lots of people expect this day, and frankly, possibly the surrounding days, the next few days, to be the most stressful day of their lives. And new research from the American Psychological Association seems to confirm that. Their research found 68% of Americans say the 2020 election is a significant source of stress in their lives, up from 52%. And it seems the stress is equally felt regardless of party. 76% Democrats, 67% Republicans, 64% Independents. The most stressful day of your life?
Yeah.
I wish that was the most stressful day of my life.
I was going to say, you've lived a very charmed life, I think.
What I wouldn't give.
Yeah.
I think it was all the lockdown with the COVID going
into
this
thing. It's exacerbated by COVID, for sure.
Everyone is just sitting around watching TV all day and going nuts.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. When, you know, Brian and I think both, it's funny to talk about this because anyone listening is in the future and possibly knows what happened, but that this is going to drag out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how much more hurry up and wait, we'll see, there's no end, there's no light at the tunnel. How much more of that shit can we take? Between COVID and the election.
That's good for the news networks.
You can take an infinite amount of it if you kind of unplug, you know?
Yeah.
Because then it sort of doesn't matter whether it's a little or a lot as long as you're not plugged into it, you know?
Or, as you say, if you have real problems.
Yeah, if you have real problems.
This is not going to, you know, hit your radar.
But it's just the overall, like we've talked about this on the show, like, you know, saying we'll reevaluate after the election or as soon as the numbers are good, then we move to a different bracket. But then they move the goalposts. It's like, well, there's no data to look forward to anymore. And the election folds right into that. Seemingly.
Yeah. Well, you should also know that, you know, despite whatever CNN running around with their hair on fire for 4 years, when's the last time the presidency really changed anything in your life? It just doesn't. Like we got this whole thing where it's like, you know. So if Trump gets 4 more years, this country's not going to be able to X, Y, and Z. California's a piece of shit. It's not because of Trump. Trump can't do anything over here. We are who we are. The states are the states. The doom and gloom. One way or the other, people get way too caught up in that.
I agree, and I'm. This is almost the Lance Bass theory because I don't think it's necessarily what the answer is. We just want an answer. Yeah. Just anything, like just give us something to know. You know, this 8 months of like we'll see. I feel like any kid who is told for 8 months we'll see would be clinically insane by now. Mm-hmm. You know, asking your parents. So I just want to know something.
Yeah, I agree. All right, what else?
Interesting fact, according to the New York Times, we know that Donald Trump is not a drinker. Did you know? Neither is Joe Biden. In modern history, this is the first time two major candidates don't drink and claim to have never had an alcoholic drink over the course of their lives.
That's weird.
Wow.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Teetotalers.
At a wedding, yeah, toasting and sipping champagne.
Yeah, it's weird. They're both the I just don't drink. They're those
right.
guys.
Right.
The Dane Cook is I just don't drink guy. Dennis Prager is I just don't drink
Dennis
guy. Yeah. Maybe Chris D'Elia. I don't know. There are some I just don't drink guy. Bobcat Goldthwait is I don't drink because I got sober.
Right.
But Bob got sober at like 18.
Didn't Greg? Didn't Fitzdog?
Yeah.
It was young, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't respect that.
Boy.
Yeah.
You got to give it the old college try.
What kind of bottom can you actually hit?
On your 40th birthday, yeah. What happened? What was your bottom? I fell off my Schwinn. And my teacher in the 11th grade, I vomited during the class. Like, what is your bottom? By the way, when I was 18, I was just living my bottom. I didn't need any booze.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stuck a flask at homecoming? Go get on board.
I didn't need booze to hit a bottom. I was living the bottom life.
Oh,
yeah, you were a downright crab.
The booze would have been a nice distraction.
Excuse?
Yes.
Rationale.
Right. All right.
Human crustacean. Well, speaking of life under the sea, there is a new song that has become the most watched video of all time on YouTube.
No.
It was Despacito from 2017. Some people may have found that song annoying. You ain't seen nothing yet. This song is, you know what? I'm just going to put you into the same torture.
Is it Baby Shark?
This is the most.
Oh, it is. Oh, my God.
Video of all time. Go for it.
Oh, Tessa loves this. This is a jam. This song kind of cooks.
Oh, scroll through. We didn't need to see the intro. Start it like 6.
Wait for the kick in.
Oh, God. So This song has been streamed for the equivalent of 30,187
years. All right, pot it down, please. Sorry.
30,000 years is the equivalent that this has been streamed. Pinkfong, the South Korean company.
30,000 years?
1,000 years. Created the children's song Pinkfong?
Pinkfong?
Pinkfong.
Oh, I thought you said thong. That's just the worst froyo place ever. It's fucking froyo. Yogurt tastes like ass, dude.
They made over $5 million on the streaming alone. But here's the thing I don't understand. This chant, this song has been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys not? I mean, I was a camp counselor, and you know, when we were little kids, we were going "Baby Shark, do 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 do."
Oh, really?
Yes.
The song's old.
Did not know that.
Yeah, the original Baby Shark song was a nursery song from the 1900s.
Wow.
There you go.
Pinkfong just took over.
Mm. Yeah, they hyped it up.
Mm.
30,000 years is the equivalent.
Wait, they ripped off Jaws. I mean, they kind of sampled Jaws, and they ripped that shit off?
Yeah.
No. Well, I'm sure it's in the public domain by now, but yeah, the opening is very do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no respect for that group. Or whoever they are, or whatever it is. We have the Dawson Kayla Sachs asking out Lisa Loeb.
Yes.
60 seconds.
I would love the chance just to go out with you one night. We could have a good time. I'm not looking to get married. I'm not looking to tie you down to anything. I just would love to hang out with you, get to know you a little better. If you are honestly single, I've had a crush on you for like the last 7-8 years.
Wow, and that's
it would be really cool. That's nice.
Well, we could hang out for fun spilled. For friends. For friends, right?
Lisa, let me ask you.
He said he's not interested in getting married.
No.
I want somebody who's looking for some
biological clock
serious.
There, my brother.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that was
I'm
a mistake.
Not looking
oh, I see. No pressure is what you're saying.
Saturday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want, okay. Well, we can figure something out.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
She started to soften by the end.
Starting to soften.
Sounds about right.
Give it another 11 years.
She melted.
Yeah. All right. Good work, Max Spada. Sorry, where are we at?
Well, I credit where credit is due. Brian was the first person to send me this story that is now everywhere and with good reason because the visual is just chef's kiss. So the driver of a metro train escaped injury when the front carriage rammed through the end of an elevated section of rails and was caught by a sculpture of a whale tail near the Dutch port city of Rotterdam. You're seeing the picture. This train is literally jetted way beyond any ground and is just rolled itself right onto the tail of the sculpture. The authorities, the train was left perched like that for several yards, as you're seeing. The authorities said late Monday that a crane would attempt to lift the train off the whale. The architect who designed the sculpture told a Dutch broadcasting station he was pleased that it likely saved the driver's life.
He was pleased.
Yes.
The company that operates the metro line said the driver was not injured. There were no passengers, but what a visual.
I got an idea for a song called Giant Whale. Write that down. Okay. We're going to make a billion. Oh. Yeah.
We're going to stream it for 33 years.
Giant whale, saving trains, big ass sculpture. See, this is important. This is why we need sculpture to reflect actual things that are on this planet. Because if that was a piece of modern art, that guy would be fucking impaled right now.
Exactly.
Dead.
Would have torn it open.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking it's cool. It's like it's two things we don't really have. We don't have trains and giant whale tail sculptures. But Jesus Christ, that train ain't light. I mean, that tail fucking did its job.
Yeah, and how?
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Suspended in the air.
Nice.
Well, we talk a lot about, you know, sports injuries come up all the time. That's just a part of being an athlete. Now, e-sport injuries are on the rise. And
it's like Revenge of the Nerds when the fucking guy broke his leg playing chess.
Well, that's not just carpal tunnel, though that does happen. Apparently, we're seeing players burn out because of depression and insomnia from their e-sport, even dealing with injuries like torn ligaments, physical breakdowns, carpal tunnel, like I said. Many medical professionals are still learning that e-sport competitors are at risk from serious health issues, but there's little official guidance on e-sport medicine, and doctors often don't get a chance to assess a pro gamer before their injuries and ailments ramp up to, you know, a little knot in your wrist, but now they're worried. And it makes sense. I mean, yes, I get the wrist movement, but depression and insomnia, you're playing video games 24 hours a day. I get it.
You can't do one thing for an extended period of time and not have some sort of residual residue, side effect, negative, whatever. That's just whatever it is, even if it seems sort of harmless, you just can't. You know, we are built for like diversity. Like you got to go outdoors, then you got to get some air conditioning, then you got to work out, then you got to sleep. You know, our whole life is a sort of you got to eat, then you got to not eat for a while, then you got to exercise, then you got to rest. You know, then you have to be around people, you know, friends, whatever. Yeah. Then you need to be alone for some period of time. You know, anytime you start really fucking with that balance, that's when people's lives get screwed up. Like they work too much, that's what happens, or too many video games, or especially with kids, you know, they have to go do this, whatever it is. They end up being Todd Marinovich, or their dad, you know, has them in the weight room when they're 11 years old, and it never
their right arm behind their back.
Right. It never has a good ending. It's like total. We are so wired for diversity. We can't even eat the same fucking food two nights in a row.
Yeah, I had that for lunch. I'm good.
I do love the people who fucking freak out over like, well, so have sushi two nights in a row. We had it last night.
I just had it.
I know.
I don't understand those people.
I don't get it. I don't get it either. Is sushi good or not? Answer yes. Oh, shut the fuck up. We're getting sushi. Yes. All right, one more, Gina.
All right, so I'm going to leave it to the choose your own adventure. Do you want to see something gross or smell something delicious?
See
something. Smelling is going to be difficult to pull off.
Yeah, imagine smelling it or see something pretty off-putting.
It's not. Is it someone being injured?
No,
I can't see someone being injured.
I'd call it a self-injury, but no.
Self-injury.
It's like a tattoo or something.
Something like that.
All right, let's see the gross thing.
Okay. Body mod guy. We have a new body mod front runner.
Fucking body mod guy.
Pick your medicine. You're going to hate this.
Door number two.
A German man named Rolf Buchholz has set the Guinness World Record for the most body modification and has no plans to stop. Roll that tape. He's 61 years old.
Oh, no, 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 no.
He's got horns and, yeah.
It's just,
no.
I can't even tell you how many piercings he has. Yeah, you don't have to listen.
All right, get rid of him.
He did his eyes black.
I can't look at this.
I can't say that.
Subdermal piercings.
Now I got to know what we're going to smell.
And, yes, including horns on his head. All hats off to you, Rolf Buchholz. A lot of
fit a hat on his head.
Ugh. No, he said hats off.
Hats are off. No shit.
I wonder how his mom was.
Probably a nun.
It's such a bull. I barely get pierced ears on a dude. I barely get it. I barely get tattoos. I make an exception. I think Carson Daly has a tattoo. He had a beloved stepdad, and his dad passed away. And I think his dad was a Corvette guy, and he got like a smallish Corvette with the dad's name on it or nice. Something. Like, I'll make some room for that. Especially good step parents. You know, when you have a killer step parent, you fucking won the lottery because step parents don't always have to be that fantastic. Having a good stepdad, I think his dad like, and he had one of those fucking good jobs too. I think his stepdad ran like the pro shop at Riviera or something at some big golf club or maybe a place in Palm Springs, but, or maybe both or whatever. So Carson was like playing golf with Tiger Woods when he was 12 kind of thing. Yeah.
So should I be insulted if in 20 years this stepkid doesn't have a big G on his arm for me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, oh, you'll,
it's going to be longer than 20. But the point is, you know, the new, you know what the rule should be? Stepdad, biological dad, mom, whatever. You either should have a job where you make good money and you could go golfing with your kid, or you could provide things like that. In lieu of that, fucking get a cool job. Like, have a job at an ice cream parlor or something. You know, manage a Swenson's. You know what I mean? Like, have a fucking job where... I'll tell you the opposite of that. My grandmother worked at the Veterans Administration in Westwood. It's like, oh, can I come hang out and see what's in the vending machine?
Big perks.
Yeah, like, have a...
She made up for it with love to give. Oh, wait. Yeah,
just have a job that's, like, fun where you could... Even my buddy Ray... His mom worked as a cocktail waitress at the Far East Terrace, a Japanese joint in Toluca Lake. Now, Irene, she was a 45-year-old cocktail waitress. Like, you know, it wasn't great, but didn't make a lot of money. Came home every night with a bunch of Chinese food.
Ooh.
And tips before the ATM. Pre-ATM, a smock full of singles and fives, and could easily peel a few off and tell you to go to the liquor store or whatever it is. That's a perfect example of a job that you're a middle-aged cocktail waitress. You haven't hit the lottery, but you got the Chinese food and you got the bucks. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent a home? Well, you must do one or the other. I bet you do. So, you know, you can work hard. You want to know what's easy? Bundle those policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners, renters, insurance, along with your auto policy as well. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Just go to Geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could be saving. Makes it Geico easy at Geico.com. All right. Let's see. We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to talk to Dr. Drew on the Stereo app right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device, because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.